Well, I want to point you back to the words in the next verse in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. We didn't read it earlier, but we sung about it a moment ago. Now the ground beneath quakes as its maker bows his head. Curtain torn in two, dead are raised to life. Finished the victory cry. This is verse 51 in Matthew 27. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened and many bodies of the saints who'd fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tomb after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Now I want to focus on the veil of the temple for a few minutes, and we'll be brief because I was long on the first half. We'll be brief on the second half, but I just want to direct your minds to think about another wonderful accomplishment of the cross. This is something that God did, God achieved at the cross. And I'm putting this down under the heading, the way that was opened by Jesus. The way that was opened. So the wrath that was poured out on Jesus on the cross, and now the way that was opened by Jesus at the cross. And this is the way into the Holy of Holies. I don't know how familiar you are with the Old Testament way of worship, but there was a tabernacle. The instructions for the tabernacle were given to Moses in the book of Exodus, and the layout is clear for us in Scripture. And if you want to turn to the book of Hebrews, the writer to the Jews in the New Testament age, the writer of this letter to the Hebrews describes what they were familiar with. Hebrews chapter 9, when he talks about the layout of the temple, in verse 2, for a tent was prepared, the first section in which were the lampstand and the table and the bread of the presence. Now, this obviously carried on into the design of the temple, but originally when it was given, it was the tent or the tabernacle that was there. And there in the first section, called the holy place, was were these items of the ritual worship of the Jewish people, the lampstand, the table, that would be the altar of incense probably, and the bread of the presence. And it's called the holy place. But behind the second curtain, that was behind the way into the tent, which would have been the first curtain, behind the second curtain was a second section, verse 3, called the most holy place, or the holy of holies. Now, between the holy place and the holy of holies, you've got this second curtain, which is also called the veil. The veil, which in the veil of the tabernacle became, when they built the temple in Solomon's day, became the veil of the temple. And you've got to think of an enormous, heavy curtain stretching from floor to ceiling and made of the most remarkable embroidered material, beautifully crafted, very thick, well-woven linen of the finest quality and embroidered with all sorts of decorations, but it separated off the holy place from the most holy place. What was in the most holy place? The Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, which was a box with a golden seat on it, the atonement cover, and over that the two cherubim with their wings stretched out and touching and their faces gazing down and towards each other, towards the middle of the box. This is the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the priests went daily into the holy place to do the ministry. They would change the showbread, keep the lamps burning on the menorah, the lampstand. They would put fresh incense on the altar of incense in front of the veil. But only once a year, and that only with blood, would anyone enter the Holy of Holies. And that had to be the high priest. He had to go in and first of all offer and sprinkle blood onto the Ark of the Covenant, the blood of a bull sacrificed for his own sin, and then the blood of a goat, whose life had been shed for the sins of the people of Israel. When he went into that Holy of Holies, he went in there to make atonement for the sins of the people and for his own sins. And that was the high priest just once a year, and he would have to present to God the blood of the sacrifice that had been made in the place of the people who had sinned. Now, I just want to give you that picture because you need to know something else about what was there in the Holy of Holies. It wasn't just a box. It wasn't just a golden seat with some golden cherubim. But there, between the cherubim, above the atonement cover, above the mercy seat on that box, above this golden cover on the box, but between the cherubim, God's presence dwelt. God himself, with his a measure of his glory, lived there in the Holy of Holies, between the cherubim, above the atonement cover. And from there, he would speak to Moses, and he would communicate to the people of Israel. Now, I don't know if you can just even begin to take this in, but it's a very different picture to everything we know today, isn't it? But it was a very powerful picture to the people of Israel that God would dwell with them and God would bless them, but God was unapproachable. God was other. God was holy. If anyone went into the Holy of Holies, he must be killed. If the high priest went in the wrong way, he would die. And the only way for the high priest to go in was with the blood of a bull sacrificed for his sin to cleanse him from his sin. And then he could go in and present the blood of the goat that was for the sins of the people. And he would have to go in there and he'd sprinkle the blood onto the mercy seat. Now, what's happening at that moment? I wonder if you can take this in. There's the presence of a holy God who hates sin, who judges sin, and who must punish sin, who has a holy stored up wrath for sin, even the sin of his people, Israel. And here's the priest going into the Holy of Holies, and he's saying, first of all, here's some blood for a bull that's paid the price, taken the penalty that I deserve. Now, here's the blood, Lord, look. Here is the blood of the goat, which is for the sins of your people, God. Even the sins that they've committed unintentionally. Here's the blood. And the Lord would then live with his people, Israel, if they kept on sacrificing year after year the goat and the bull and bringing those sacrifices. But they had to do it year after year. And the writer to the Hebrews in this same chapter says basically that they because they had to do it year after year, you know that the blood of bulls and goats don't actually finally deal with the problem of sin, do they? Because if they did finally deal with the problem of sin, then the blood of bulls and goats would only have to be given once. But they don't finally deal with the problem of sin because people keep on sinning, but also the sacrifice of bulls and goats doesn't finish it. It's not finished. But hold on a minute, we just heard the words of Jesus from the cross. We heard the words of Jesus who John the Baptist pointed to and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the words of Jesus on the cross were, it is finished. Now, when he uttered those words and bowed his head and yielded up his spirit to God, what happened? Well, what happened was the most remarkable thing I think ever to happen. The curtain of the temple was torn apart, torn in two, but not from the bottom to the top, as if humans could have done it, but from the top to the bottom. And what does that signify, friends, Christians, believers? It signifies that the sacrifice, the sacrifice of sacrifices, has been made. And that there no longer needs to be a veil between us and God. That a way of access has been opened. This is the writer to the Hebrews, verse 11 of chapter 9. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, that not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is a mediator of a new covenant. A new covenant. Now, I'm just going to fast forwards. Verse 25, we don't have time to go through it all, but nor was it to offer himself repeatedly as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood, not his own, for then he would have to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. What we're doing here today with this cup, by the way, is not re-sacrificing Jesus. This is not a mass. We're not engaging in another sacrifice. Christ was sacrificed how many times? Once for all. To put away sin. What did he say on the cross? Let's hear those words again. It is finished. The sacrifice is done. The way to God has been opened. The writer to the Hebrews says in in chapter 10, therefore, brothers, verse 19, since we have confidence to enter the holy places, that's the holy place and the most holy place, by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. The one thing you could not do to God under the old system was draw near to God, right? Because he's holy, because he's full of wrath, righteous wrath against your sin. And if you just tried to come to him, you'd be killed. And you had needed a priest to go to him once a year and present sacrifice so that you could be just allowed to live and have God anywhere, somewhere near you, in the people to be cleansed ceremonially, to be able to be in kind of in existence somewhere near God as part of his people. But now, brothers and sisters, what do we have? We have a new and living way to God open for us through the curtain. The veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. The way into the Holy of Holies was opened, and it was opened through his flesh when he died on that cross. It was what would we say? It was accomplished. It was accomplished. The price was paid, and he went into the heavenly Holy of Holies, and he offered his own blood up to God. There's the picture on earth with the tabernacle and the temple. There's the reality in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, who offered up himself as the sacrifice. And you can say this, that in earthly terms, he went into the Holy of Holies and showed God the Father his blood and said, "It's done. It's done. It's over. It's finished. The price has been paid." Paid. Paid in how much? Paid in full. In full. Believer, now I'm just going to call upon you to think about this. Christian, how much of the debt you owe has been paid? How much of what you need for cleansing has been provided? Can you, Christian, with all your sin, come into the presence of the Holy God and draw near to God? Answer from the Bible, yes. Yes, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? All unrighteousness. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. So Christian, today, look, we're going to take this juice, and we're going to say as we do it, Lord, we need your cleansing. This is not going to do you any good. This is just a reminder. Do this in remembrance of me. But the blood of Christ does it all, right? So as you take this, think of it, think of it. Let's remember before God. Let's sing first, and then we'll take time again to take the cup and just to meditate on it once more.